Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
And thank you for tuning in once again to these boardroom chats. We just enjoy the presence of the Lord. We just came out of a glorious, and that's the title of it, woman's conference. And I tell you what, Kathy, you shucked the corn, balled the potatoes. You just flat did it, right? Let the Holy Ghost come down. It was a powerful conference.
Oh, thank you, Jess. And I just loved every part of it. Everybody came with their faith, and you were there too. You
yeah,
were
I, got, part of, I got a chance to be a part of a woman's conference. Praise.
Every you know what's now good and then, I let you conference? Slip in.
They always got food. It's so nice. It was such a blessing of the Lord. I tell you what, God really moved. And then we did a panel with me and you and Chrissy and Jody, my daughter, and people just loved it. And it was just such a blessing of the Lord. I tell you what we want to do, and people were asking us questions and reading off questions. There was no way we could get to all of them and things of that nature. So we want to continue on those questions and things, just me and Kathy here. And if I don't know the answer, we'll holler behind the camera to Chrissy. She's behind the camera. And then maybe she can help us. But I want to show you a scripture before we do these questions. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I love this scripture. And it's verse 13. It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words."
Wait, you didn't give me a chance to turn
I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter
2
1.
2 Timothy.
Chapter 1, verses 13. You got it?
All right, almost
she's getting
there.
And I'll read it right fine.
Okay, I have it says, there.
But, and this is the King James Version. You might want to get a different translation if you like.
I will.
It says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith." So sound words come from faith. "And love, which is in Christ Jesus." So to answer questions correctly, whether they be homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological, doctrinal, whatever, or personal questions, you have to hold fast to the form of sound words, because sound words have sound foundation.
Right, because people want to know our opinion, of course, but they want to know our opinion based on the Word of God.
On the Word of God, that's
and
correct.
And the Amplified Version of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching, which you have heard from me in all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus."
That's a blessing of the Lord.
That's great. I'm going to look for one more translation
while
you
chat.
How
about a passion translation? You got
passion,
that?
Passion, of course.
I like that.
I got them all in here. It says, "Allowing the healing words you've heard from me to live in you and make them a model for your life as your faith and love for the anointed one grows even more."
Oh, that's powerful.
And it grows even more. Isn't that wonderful?
And I really love the King James, "Hold fast." In other words, you never turn loose the sound
Oh,
words.
I love the next verse. It says,
well, no, we're staying with that verse.
I know, but can I just read it?
Yes.
Verse 14 says, "Guard well."
Amen.
"This incomparable treasure by the spirit of holiness living within you." So
that's a blessing.
So once it gets in there, you got to guard it well. Hold it and guard it.
Every preacher, every minister, every Christian should be speaking sound words.
Sound words.
And I tell you what, so Kathy, let's start off with some of those questions. You can answer some too. Do you want to read the testimonies
first?
Yeah,
I'd like to read the testimonies.
Okay, go ahead.
Today, because I love it when people write comments.
Amen.
And when you're watching the chat. Let us know where you're watching from.
Amen.
Not just that, but give us some kind of a comment, a praise report, or how these chats
Amen.
Or anything that we're doing here at Jesse Duplantis Ministries has blessed your life. You know, we've been doing this for 50 years.
50
this
years.
This year, we're
Glory
celebrating
to God.
50
what a
years
blessing.
Of reaching people.
Changing lives.
One soul at a time.
Come on.
And these are some souls that have been reached.
Yes, yes.
Anthony says, "Hello from UK, Staffordshire."
That's good.
Staffordshire. And Donald says, "Watching from Nigeria." Tahar says, "I'm watching from Pakistan, and I am very blessed to see you, my fellow believers."
Isn't that a blessing?
Dorothy says, "Hello from Bungoma, Kenya."
Praise God.
And Vonda says, "I enjoy the boardroom chats via YouTube and Facebook. It shows your personal side. I love it."
Isn't that a blessing? Praise God.
Molly says, "I'm watching the boardroom chat on this glorious day. I am in Doswell, Virginia, and it just got glorious, sir."
That's
glorious,
a word, huh?
Sir.
Glorious,
with
sir.
With JDM. I got two more. Darren says, "Ah, Jesse, your trip to heaven fueled me so much. Thanks for all the love and teaching."
Thank you for saying that. And that other one, the last one?
And Krista says, "Can't wait to see you in June in Colorado for your heaven tour."
Ladies and gentlemen, you may not realize what's happening. I'm still preaching in a lot of churches, but the Lord spoke to me to do a heaven tour, which means I went to heaven in 1988, and that's a long time ago. I was 36, I think. No, well, I wasn't 1988. Anyway, I was
It
young.
Doesn't matter, does it? You were young.
And so we're doing five different places. And it's going to be, you know how you hear this sometimes in theaters only? But this is going to be in church only. There will be no worship. There will be nothing like that. It's not like a church service. In which I'm going to come and I'm going to speak about that wonderful thing. And many people have read this on our books, Close Encounters of the God Kind. But it's so powerful when it's in person. And then I'm going to open it up for question and answer. And it's going to be a blessing of the Lord. So you can get on our website and go to the, and find out where the places will be at that time. I think the first one will be in April.
There April in, the Branson, 10th in Branson.
In Branson, Missouri.
It's a Friday night. Starts at 7 p.m.
Yeah, it's at Faith Life Church, I think
it is. I think they're going to have child care there. Sister Phyllis told me they're planning on having that, but it's going to be such a powerful time.
Yeah, it's going to be a blessing of the Lord. Now, let's get back to this glorious conference. And she's already getting ready for the next year. And a lot of men come to it, too. And it's such a blessing. They give away great gifts and things to at the end of the service. And the ladies really have a wonderful time. And it's a blessing. So here are some of the questions that we couldn't get to. And we thought it would make a good boardroom chat. Because so, maybe you would like to ask something like that. So, Kathy, start off.
Okay.
Let's see what we got here.
This one says, I want to hear God's voice in my prayer life as you do. What steps can I take to start hearing him?
Okay, well, I'll answer that. Why don't you answer it first?
Well, you know, I hear God's voice most of the time through his word. I mean, I'll take a quiet time. I'll sit and I'll start reading through the word. And then I'll hear what he has spoken, as the Holy Spirit spoke to be written down. And then the Spirit starts adding more to it. Or it brings me and confirms some things to me that I've been seeking him. He'll show me to turn to another passage of scripture many times. And sometimes I'll just hear a prompting even before the Bible is even opened, just because I've taken the time to sit and listen to him. But I remember there are some things that just come as a witness in my spirit. I may not hear like words in my head, but there's a knowing that God is leading me and directing me and to pray a certain way or to believe for a certain thing or reject something, some report that I've heard. And so I believe that that is the ways that God speaks to me. I know that he speaks to you in audible voices.
Yes.
I can't say that I've heard an audible voice, but I've heard God.
Well, I, not that I'm better, because I'm not, but the Lord speaks to me audibly. Let me just say this. The reason why I guess I hear his voice audibly is, you see, it's very hard to hear God's voice when you're praying, because you're talking. You see what I'm saying? So the best thing to do while you pray, and then just stop praying for a second and stand there, and all of a sudden the Lord will begin to minister to you. And he may speak to you through your spirit or through the word. You can receive it that way. But the way I do, the way the Lord does it with me, I hear him like you hear my voice. And a lot of times when I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost, you know, I might be in the church service and I'm flowing, you'll see me turn my head like that, because he says, Jesse, go over there, minister to that lady and say this or say that. So it's wonderful, but it's all based on the word of God. God only says what his word says.
But that's a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and it's such a, and Jesus said, I only say what my Father says and I only do what my Father says to do. So Jesus heard the Father's voice. So it's not really steps. And God may work with you in a different manner. What you do is, but I've noticed that a lot of people, oh, Jesus, and that's great, pray it. But how can you hear when you're talking?
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is just, you know, quit talking for a second and let God speak to you. And he may do it like he does with Kathy, a word or a prompting. And then if as you get closer to him, I mean, as you want to fellowship with this God, you hear him talk. Because let me tell you something. He believes in you physically hearing him. And when he comes back, we're going to hear that trumpet sound.
Mm-hmm.
And people are coming out the grave, and we're going home to be with the Lord. So that's a good answer to that question. Next one, Kathy.
Okay, it says, this year I've decided to use my faith voice.
Amen. That's our 2026 theme.
That's right. But there are times I get fearful of the future and doubt starts to creep in. How do I shake off the fear and doubt so that I can keep my faith voice strong?
Don't listen to it. Why would you let it in? Now, in other words, let me give you an example. If a guy wanted to rob your house and you could see he's outside the door and he got a gun in and he wants to rob it, would you go open the door? No, you're not going to open the door. You're going to call 911 or you're going to get somebody to get rid of that person. So I'm going to make this sound simple, even though you may think it's hard. Do not let doubt and fear creep in. Hold fast to the form of sound words. What is sound words? The word of God. So when you get that thought, he said, no, I will not receive that. My faith voice says, I call those things would be not as though they were. I will not have that in my life. And you know, let me tell you something. That tries to do that to me. The devil tries to do that to me too. I go, no, No. I don't talk to you. I have nothing to do with you. Now, that's so easy, what I just said, that you need a good theologian to help you misunderstand it. And I'm telling you the truth. So what you need to do simply is when those things begin, they say creep in, well, throw that creep out your thought life.
Get out of here, creep.
And say, no, we're not doing that. That's simple. Start today on that. Next question,
well,
Catherine.
Well, no, I've got an answer to that.
Oh, you got an answer? Okay.
Yeah, I got an answer. Because you don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words.
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, now he had just been talking to them about don't think about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, yeah, where you're going to live,
that's
that kind
Matthew
of stuff.
Matthew 6, 33.
He says, therefore I say unto you in verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor let your body, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? It is not the life. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment?
Think you ought to put them glasses on?
Maybe. But anyway, the point is, take no thought. Saying is what
And that's how you take a thought.
Mm-hmm, you take a thought by saying that. In fact, in verse 31 is more clear. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewith shall be done? So he says the Father knows, but
yes.
What you need to, he goes down to the bottom line of that whole teaching is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
That's
therefore,
solid.
Take therefore no thought
you're
for tomorrow.
You're preaching the question again.
Well, I just think it's a great thing to do.
that's
how you take a thought is by saying it. So don't say it if it's
right.
The creep. It's the creep talking.
Yeah.
The creepy thing.
You just don't do that. Let me
that's how you shake it off.
You have control over yourself spiritually, physically, and financially. So don't allow anybody else to change your way of thinking other than God Almighty. That's what it means, to hold fast to the forms of sound
so
words.
So find yourself in the
yes.
Word of God and
Amen.
Start declaring what God has promised you. And that's how and you speak it out of your own mouth.
Amen.
And let it get deep in your heart. And then that
Amen.
Way you will have victory over your thoughts.
Next question.
This one says being born and raised in New Orleans.
Put the glasses on, Kathy.
I can see it.
Okay, you can see it? Okay, go ahead.
Look how big it is. I mean, that's like 20-point tight. Being born and raised in New Orleans, I know you know a good food. What's your favorite food?
What's my favorite food?
I can tell you that.
What?
Gumbo.
I love gumbo. It's a blessing. I love cholesterol. I probably should not say that, but I do. I like good food. You know, I remember years ago before we had all this junk, people used to just enjoy themselves. And then restaurants starts putting the calories on the menu.
Oh, that's so good.
And it just destroyed. I said, listen, man, we know if something's fattening or not. Probably gumbo's probably my favorite. And next is fried chicken. God, I love
anything
fried chicken.
Anything fried, especially fried chicken.
And they said, that's not healthy for you. Well, I'm probably older than you are, and I'm doing real, real well. Praise God. Hallelujah.
It's moderation, so
I think.
Everything
done in moderation. And it just literally, I thank God I'm not real big on sweets. But I noticed, now this sounds crazy. I'm changing as I grow older, that I enjoy something sweet a little bit more than I used
that's
to.
That's true.
It is a blessing. Kathy is the ice cream. She's the ice cream addict. Huh? She loves ice cream.
Don't say that. Don't make that declaration.
And that's okay. You know,
I can tell you what my favorite food is.
What's your favorite food?
I love a good steak.
She likes a good steak.
Steak. A thick steak. I love steak.
I'll take a piece of fried chicken over a steak all day long.
No.
But to each his own. Next question.
I love
that's making me hungry. I don't want to. Go
okay.
Ahead.
I love watching the boardroom chats and how real you two are with each other. What are your tips for working together as a married couple?
Well, I'll show you. She just proved it. When I told her to put them glasses on. But she held herself. I thought that was funny.
I don't think it was funny.
Anyway, what's the tips of good marriage? Well, you agree to disagree without being disagreeable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let me tell you something. God made us one when we got married. See, I've said this, and I've learned this definition of marriage by John Hagee. He said, marriage is the death of two wills and the covenant of one. You come in as two people and you come out at one flesh. But that doesn't mean we do come one flesh. But she's got her own distinct personality. I have my own distinct personality. And that's okay. They'll agree to disagree without being disagreeable, but we ought not be fighting over it and all that kind of stuff.
I think we both respect each other. I think we both, of course, love is our foundation.
Sure.
I fell in love with you before I really knew you. But the more I know you, the more I love you.
I thought you said the more I know you, the more I hate you. No, no, that's true. Marriage,
and I appreciate
it should grow
you.
In that.
And there are times when I just stare at you and I think how thankful I am for all that God's done in your life.
That's
and,
nice of you to
how
say
much
that.
He's going to do. Keep doing it. No, okay.
Keep them glasses off when you stare at me. Praise
Leave
God.
Me alone.
Okay. And but I appreciate
tips,
you saying that.
You know what? One of the things is we support each other. I don't allow anybody to criticize him to me. I will criticize him, but I don't like anybody to put him down to me.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. We support one another in that way. And we recognize we're a team, but
sure.
Even if we weren't worth in a time before we were both preaching, we were always very supportive of each
That's
other.
Right.
And
the
you
whole
respect
key to this,
each other.
I think it makes a good with us because of the lifestyle we live. Me and Kathy both focus on the Word of God.
Put God first.
So much that, and put God first, you know, seek ye first, that we don't have time for foolishness and a lot of different things that a lot of marriages have and all that
well,
kind of
Well, and a lot of things you're talking about here, they're working together because we do work together. We're together
sure.
Pretty much 24-7.
24-7, that's right.
And they will work together in the ministry.
Amen.
Whether we're both, either one of us are at the pulpit or both of us on a program.
Sure.
Or sometimes just in the office planning things, planning events or trips or ministry. Traveling schedule that we have to do together. And there's a lot of opportunities to get frustrated and aggravated,
sure.
And we have gone there sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
No, but we don't stay there.
We
recognize when the enemy comes in to try to pull us apart, and then we get back on
that
track.
That doesn't mean we don't argue, but we're not fisting all this kind of craziness and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you might not wake up the next day.
That's right, yeah, you know, or running out the house or doing something kind of crazy or something like that. You know, we work that through the Word of God. Next question, Kathy.
Next, yes, we could stay on that for a longer time. This one says, when I was younger, I experienced a lot of hurt by religious leaders. It's hard for me to trust the church again. How do I trust God when I can't seem to trust the church?
Well, the Bible said the gates of hell are not prevail against the
so
church.
True.
And I got to agree with you. I've had the church really, well, every time I've had trouble in my life, especially since I was born again in my ministry, some church person did it, some pastor, some preacher. I'm not being critical, just being truthful. But I found out, you know, you cannot offend me. Look at me when I say that. You cannot offend me. I didn't say you couldn't hurt my feelings. You can hurt my feelings, but that's all right. But I will not let it develop to the point of offense. You know why? This is going to sound tough. I don't want to be what I don't like. So don't put your whole life because someone hurt you. Church is great for you. And don't worry about them people hurting you. You don't become what they are. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to become what I don't like, so I don't. But that doesn't stop me from going to church and receiving from God the Word of the living God. That's a great answer to that. And I guarantee you, there's not a church anywhere in the world that the devil ain't trying to hurt somebody through it or whatever. And you know what? Preachers and people should not do those things, and we know that. But everybody's still human. But that don't make it right because we're human. I just don't become what I don't like. And I mean that sincerely, so you cannot offend me. Didn't say you couldn't hurt my feelings, but I say, you know what? Those things will heal up, praise God. And I'm just going to love the Lord whether they love me or not. And I'm going to attend church whether they like it or not. And I'm going to just receive from God what God has for me. That's a great answer. Next question, Mom.
I can't answer that.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to answer it.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, it's so important to recognize that the enemy is always coming in to try to divide and separate people.
Right.
And many times things happen that are misunderstood. And even within our marriage, going back to that whole thing, sometimes you'll say something, and I think you mean one thing, but you mean another. And so so I could stay offended, or I could ask you, hey, what did you mean by that?
I don't get offended.
And then we talk about it. And so that will stop the offense. I recognize that a lot of people that do come, like even to our church, I know that many of them may have come with her past hurts, and I see them sort of sit there in the church for a season because they don't want to get involved because they don't want to get hurt again. But that's a tactic of the devil to keep you separated. That's his plan, is to isolate us and keep, you know, when anybody in a herd, when there's one that gets separated from the herd, that's the one that the lion will come to try to devour. So it's important to recognize God wants us to come together. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the custom of some is, but, you know, but it's important to stay connected with the body of Christ. And it also depends on where that source came from. If it's coming from the pulpit, or if it's and with wrong teaching, or if it's coming from somebody in the body that maybe the church pastor is not even aware of.
Right.
But make the leadership of the church aware of something, if something was done unbiblically. It's good to just talk it out.
You know, you've heard me say this and you really like it. You can't hate me more than I can love you. See, love is far greater than that. So, I mean, even though they may say that, and I mean, I'm not saying we all human, sure, but refuse to be offended. Refuse that and just say, you know, I'm going to walk in love no matter if they don't walk in love. And you know what? You will overcome that. And after a while, maybe the ones that tried to hurt you, they'll come to you and say, I need help. And then because you walk in love, you can help them. Next question, Mom.
You both have so much energy. How do you stay so excited and energized while traveling and preaching as much as you do?
Answer that question.
Well, you pace yourself. I think you got to just make sure that you get your rest, but just trust the Lord to give you the energy that you need. You know, Jesus took times to rest, and we take times to rest. And so,
well, not a lot. You know, I have to be honest with that.
We get infused, but it's just wisdom to realize this. This is your earth suit. Your spirit wants to go more than your flesh. And I will tell you, look, Jesse, you need a rest.
Oh,
sometimes we need people in our lives that help us to do that. And we take things off of, sometimes take things, let me do that for you so you can rest today.
We're not real good on the answer to this question. And let me tell you why, because
I did a good job.
Well, yeah,
myself.
It's good. No, but it was good. But what I mean by that, I have a lot of minister friends, they take vacations and they go somewhere. They'll take off 2 weeks, three weeks. Me and Kathy just don't do that. We are workaholics, if you want to call it as such.
Well,
but
we're
there's
passionate
times
about
like
what
this.
We're called to do.
I walk in the office and Jody, my daughter, will say, Dad, and go home, take a nap. And, you know, what they call them, power naps or something like that. I say, oh, yeah. And it don't take long, you know, but we have to take care of ourselves, you know. We try to eat right. We do exercise and all. Well, I exercise and everything. Because
I exercised this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I pushed away from the counter. I did 30.
I thought you pushed away from the dinner table.
while waiting for my coffee to brew, I was leaning on the counter working my upper body.
Yeah, and so that's
a little.
But that, it's a great question. And we need to do more to rest. I have to say that. We enjoy the gospel. We're busy people.
You know, at the Glorious Conference, a couple of people asked me, like on Saturday morning, did you get any rest? I said, no. I said, but I don't come to these meetings to rest. I'll rest after the meeting.
Yeah.
I was up most of the night. I was praying, seeking God about the message for that day. But God gives me the energy that I need when I put Him first, when I spend time studying in the Word. There are many times before I preach the next morning, I've only slept like 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
But God gives me the energy. But then after that service is over, I want a nap.
Yeah. The way different between me and Kathy, I don't try to work Kathy during the service. In other words, you
what
know
does that mean?
I'm going to explain that right now. And what happens is, you know, if I'm preaching, I'll say, hey, Kathy, come over here. But if I'm in that service, Kathy will just jump over and say, hey, Jesse, go pray for 40,000 people here. Go down the line, all that kind of stuff.
Well, it seemed good to me and the Holy Ghost.
You know? But that's what she thinks.
I gave an opportunity.
No, I'm answering the question here.
That wasn't even the question.
But I sort of throw that in to kind of help you. Let's go to the next question.
but that brings up how wonderful that was, how the Spirit led me. It was after you had done the offering teaching on Saturday morning. In fact, you know, you can go back and look at all the Glorious,
Amen.
The programs at Glorious. It's just a Friday night and a Saturday morning. Powerful worship, great teachings, and
go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay, anyway, you distracted me.
No, I didn't. You said powerful teaching, things of that nature. We're not that good. You both have so much in. How do you stay so excited and energized while traveling and preaching as much as you do? We need help on that. Okay. That takes care of that one. Next question. We do need help on that. That's a fact.
Okay, I would like to write a book one day, but I do not know. I see you didn't even let me finish my whole statement, but that's okay. We're moving on. We'll talk about that later.
You want to put it together?
I would like to write a book one day, but I do not know where to begin. What's your advice to an aspiring Christian author?
There you go.
No, you take that one.
Well, I mean, I just started writing a book. Now, I actually turned that over to my staff to the companies that you go to. You find a publishing company, and you know how you do. You know more about that than I do, you know, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. What I do, I just write the book. And Jody is my what we call ghostwriter. And what I tell her when I'm writing, I said, now look, I don't want to deal with punctuation. I don't want to deal with anything. What I do is, as the Lord gives it to me, I'm just going like that. And I'll give it to to Jody. And it's, I mean, I write in the margins, upside down, all that kind of stuff. It's just flowing, you know.
Well, our very first book that our ministry put out, we put out now in our 50th year of ministry, we have launched The Ministry of Cheerfulness, which you may have seen out there. That was that book. I took all of those chapters from messages that Jesse preached. This was mm-hmm. before Jody was the ghostwriter. I did the ghostwriting for that one. And I remember typing it up, transcribing it, and then it would show it to you, and then you'd comment on it, different things. But it was your messages that God put mm-hmm. on your heart. So whatever it is that God is speaking to your heart, write it down. Or even if it's audio, speaking it to tape, then later transcribe it. Write it in and just keep a log of it and trust the Spirit of God to write. You know, people write different things. One of our church members loves to write poetry and beautiful things that Cherie Gomez, actually, we had one of her books were given away at the conference. Great things that are happening. And she wrote a book when she was just a younger woman. I remember reading and writing the foreword to it. And it's a God's Gloria, something about mm-hmm. a God's girls or whatever.
You got to get it on
paper. I forget
the
name of it, but it was something God put in her heart. So whatever God puts in your heart, put it on paper and trust the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. Many people write a book sort of like a therapy thing just to get this, what's in their heart, and it may just be for you. But sometimes, many times, a book is for others, and God will direct and guide your
steps. And let me help you. Now that you have social media, you know, you can actually publish your own books.
You can self-publish on Amazon
so easily.
And offer
it to people that watch you online wherever you are.
Many people do that.
So it's not that hard, but get it on paper. And write it down when the Lord begins to give it to
you. We've been trying to get our daughter Jody to write her own book because she does amazing posts and different things. But she's a great ghostwriter, but she's got a lot of great thoughts for her generation as well.
And it's such a blessing. Next question, Ben.
My daughter and I do not have a relationship anymore. I made some mistakes as a younger mom, and now she wants nothing to do with me. I've tried to make things better, but she does not want to restore our relationship. Besides prayer, what else should I do?
Well, prayer is probably the best thing you can do. She's hurt. So pray for the healing of her. In other words, ask God to quicken the love of a daughter to a mom. And maybe you did some wrong things. And sometimes people have a hard time forgetting those things and things of that nature. I'm not saying that's easy. But I'll tell you one thing. The power of prayer, the power of Christ will begin to touch her heart. Not by you just trying to, you don't want to aggravate her. You know what I'm saying? Things of that nature. But eventually she'll come to you because God's word is true. And all you have to do is that prayer, and that's where it's at. Now, what's causing a little problem is the time factor. Who don't want it yesterday? We'd like her to come yesterday. Mm-hmm. But you know, you got to understand, you got to give her time to heal. Some people heal quicker than others. And some say, and you know, it's hard for them to forget. But forgetting those things which are behind, you see, that's what she needs to do. But you know, you don't push her to do that. Even though you may have said, I'm sorry. There's been times I've told some people, if I've offended you, I didn't mean to. I don't remember ever offending them. But they didn't want to have anything to do with me. And then I noticed later on they begin to come back. Because all I did was pray for them. Like I said, Lord, first thing I do is to check myself. You see what I'm saying? And I believe, according to that question, you did check yourself that you did something wrong as a younger mother. Okay, forget that. Mm-hmm. Now, and let your light so shine. In every which way, shape, or form, and God restore that relationship.
Amen. That's a
Next
great
question,
answer.
Baby.
I'm in my 60s and still single. Is this just meant to be, or does the Lord have something out there for me?
Well, you want to answer that?
No,
or you
go
okay.
ahead.
Well, there are some people that never do get married, or maybe you're just too picky. I have to be honest here, you know. There are some people very, very picky. You know, they're looking for that perfect
person.
And
they're not perfect.
No, and they're not perfect. But they're looking for that perfect person. Let me help you. There is no perfect person other than Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So what happens is, it's okay if that's fine. But I mean, I think as Bible said, it's not good for man to be alone. So someone needs you, and you need them. But I mean, sometimes, you know, you can get a little picky on different things of that nature.
But then sometimes the right one just hasn't come along yet.
That's
I'm
right.
thinking about Kathy Radke. who married at 50.
Yeah.
Remember, she was,
50
years old. A single woman, but she didn't just stand still. She stepped out in ministry. Her pastor started, we knew her from the West Bank of New Orleans called Gretna or wherever their church was at. But anyway, it was in West Oswego, Louisiana. And so I remember she stepped out in a mission field. She started doing prison ministry. In fact, she still does it. Oh, yeah. But I remember the day came when she had her wedding and we were able to be there.
And God sent her Prince Charming. Mm-hmm. And she's a beautiful woman.
Beautiful.
I'm going to tell you something, man.
Girls named Kathy tend to be pretty nice looking.
So let God do that. You know what I'm saying? And your Prince Charming will show up.
I love that. Don't give up. You know, there are people who do remain single and enjoy the single life, but don't give up because if God puts it on your heart, there's someone. But like you said, don't be too picky. But trust God. But make sure you go to the house of God or someone that's a believer.
Amen.
You don't have to go to a barroom to find somebody.
Right.
You know, a lot of people have found people online and it's worked out. But still, even in that way, you need to be following the leading of the Holy Spirit,
All right.
of course.
We're going to do one more question.
Oh.
Go.
What surprised you the most about your trip to heaven?
That He brought me. I always wanted to see God. I always wanted to. Remember, you knew that when I first got saved.
Oh, yeah.
I just never. I thought He brought the wrong person because the message was simply this: go tell my people I'm coming.
Mm.
And I thought, my God, man, you got the wrong person, God. And at that time, a lot of people didn't know who I am. Today, I'm known all over the world. I don't mean that pridefully, just the way it is. I remember telling the Lord, I said, listen, you need to get Billy Graham. You got to get somebody like that. But today, I mean, I'm preaching to billions of people literally all over the world, and God has been so good and gracious. You know what I feel led of the Lord to do? So that was my surprise that God would do that. I want to do another, I want to continue with these questions and answers and things of that nature. And so if you don't mind, we tape these things. We're going to be in the same clothes. So we're going to do another one next week. I just feel led of the Lord. The Lord quickened
me to do that.
We'll
tape it immediately and post it next week.
So let me just say this before we close this one off. Thank you, partners, for being so courteous and kind. Your faithful financial support has helped us in 50 years of ministry to never have a financial deficit. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. We've asked the Lord for every dollar given to our ministry to give us a soul into the kingdom. So it's a blessing of the Lord. So I ask you, if you're not a partner, pray about becoming one. How do I do that? You go to our website, jdm.org, and you can hit the donate button if you want to. You can use PayPal if you'd like to do that. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. You can go to our JDM app and select the giving you want. Or you can mail in the check through the post office. There's several big projects that are going on here. We're believing God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. Some give more, some give less. And, you know, that's fine. And that's 20 million. And it'll be gone just like that. I mean, it's just the way it is. And that's why we don't retire, because God keeps telling us to do things. So now don't let that figure blow you away. You may give more. You may only give $2, $5, I don't know, whatever. But whatever you do, 100%, and I can say this faithfully, in 50 years of ministry, 100% of what people give goes into the gospel to preach His glorious word. You know, and that's just simply a fact. Even the IRS one time said, that man never touches that money. It's not mine. It's yours. And you give it to the work of the Lord. See, now some people have wanted to bless me personally, bless Catherine. Thank you for doing that. But we want to get people saved. The Bible said when this gospel is preached to the world for witness, which means they don't have to receive it, they have to witness it. The Bible says the end shall come. So this is part one of this. So we're going to be in the same cloak. We're going to tape another one right now, film one, and so you can hear it next week, okay? Jesse and Kathy saying, I love you. See you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.